Hello and welcome to another episode of The Spotlight. This podcast is for curious minds and aspiring innovators who are leading the charge in the research revolution. As usual, we dive deep to discuss inspiring, informative, and offbeat conversations on product research and strategy. My name is Iwalola Shobowale, and I am a product research and strategy lead at a leading technology company in Nigeria. In this episode, we will be discussing one of the many challenges that we face as UX researchers. I've written a couple of articles around this topic in my newsletter, which you can find at iwalola.substack.com, or if you follow me on LinkedIn. Well, the topic is around, you know, how advocating for UX research, you know, needs to be integrated into business activities, especially in product development. I feel it's really important that we discuss the challenges that we face and point out the strategies that could be applied, either, you know, based on our experience or other learning. So this is what I'm trying to do. But first, let me share what I'm currently reading, or what I've currently read that I found really interesting, is this Zendesk report on customer experience trends in 2023. Titled Consumers Expect AI to Radically Transform Service. I found this report really interesting. The design, I mean, is great. I love this. But like, one of the key things I found so interesting here was, you know, one quote that was stated here around what consumers think about, you know, AI in customer experience. One quote was that, "I think being able to get information on the spot instead of having to wait for somebody to review something and get back to me, having that instant gratification and answer is going to be huge." So this quote is from a consumer. And I think I found this really exciting. You know, one of the key takeaways from the report was that AI will provide seamless, quick, and context-rich handoffs between bots and human agents. And this is something I've hammered on in my, you know, context, you know, offering like an omni-channel experience where if a customer reaches out to you on one channel, maybe they reach out to you on another channel, there's continuity and they don't have to start all over from the beginning. So I just found this really interesting. I think you might too. So I'll link this in the show notes. The link to the article will be in the show notes if you'd like to check it out. Also, on the podcast that I'm currently enjoying, one of them is HBR's Women at Work. I really, really enjoy this podcast, especially the recent series on how to manage. I think they've covered topics on, you know, conflict management, being taken seriously, you know, as a woman at work, and even negotiating for your team. I found those three recent episodes really, 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 really engaging and relatable. Yes, I find it really relatable, and I'd encourage anyone to listen, even if you're not a woman. So moving on to today's topic, one of the challenges that we face as UX researchers that I'd like us to discuss is around delivering negative feedback to stakeholders. So the goal of discussing this is to basically help us, you know, go from, you know, that awkward feeling around things like this to feeling more empowered. So I'm sure you're wondering, Why is this even an issue at all? Well, have you ever worked on a research project or a research study where you felt that the stakeholders were kind of dismissive of the insights that you shared, or maybe you found that there were just, you know, too many unnecessary blockers to like implementing or executing your research plan? So I think you see where I'm going now, right? So, well, as we all, I think we all know that, you know, effective communication is a crucial aspect to any role or relationship. You know, oh, there's this well used quote by Nat Turner that goes, "Good communication is the bridge between confusion and clarity." I think that really encapsulates what I'm trying to say. So basically, I found this, quote, especially profound in this context, because UX research is also a bridge, between confusion and clarity, in bringing, user-centric decision making. So you can imagine that in instances where communication is an issue, whether, due to an interpersonal breakdown between, stakeholders, or maybe the breakdown of communication with users, it will be quite difficult for UX research to have a positive impact in that kind of circumstance where effective communication is not possible. So, one thing I did first was I asked, my new favorite bestie, ChatGPT. I asked it, why is effective communication important in the field of user experience? And it gave me about 6 points, which I really aligned with. So one is that, in trying to understand user needs, effective communication will allow UX researchers to, gather accurate and comprehensive information around the users, their needs, their pain points, and preferences. So, helping to get a deeper understanding of the users. So the second was around collaboration with stakeholders and how UX researchers, have to collaborate with various stakeholders, be it designers, developers, product managers, executives, business people, and having clear and concise communication would help with conveying, findings from research and recommendations, basically to encourage collaboration, right? And then the third point was around advocating for user-centric design. It's basically that, effective communication would empower UX researchers to, be able to advocate for user-centric design, across the organizations that we work in, by being able to, if, communicate or articulate the value and impact of UX research, we can better influence decision-making processes. So the fourth point was also around presenting findings and recommendations. I think this is pretty clear-cut. When we have to communicate insights, findings, recommendations, so that it's easily understood by people who are maybe for both technical and non-technical, right? Another point was around mitigating misunderstandings and assumptions. If there is miscommunication or maybe communication is incomplete, this can lead to assumptions, misaligned expectations, misunderstandings. But effective communication would help to mitigate these issues to help stakeholders have a more holistic understanding of, findings from research. So the last point was around building trust and collaboration. This is so key. So basically, effective communication would help to build trust with stakeholders to help, foster collaboration and open dialogue. So yes, in general, when delivering negative feedback, I think I found that, the 15 tips I'm going to be sharing are really helpful to for effective communication as a UX researcher. So I'll be talking about, tips that I found useful maybe before doing the research study or at the point of planning the research study, but before the insights are communicated or presented. So and then the next step of when actually communicating or presenting the insights, and then at the last phase of after the insights have been presented, what are the things we could do to, get things moving. So I'll be sharing 15 tips. Let me not to beat around the bush too much, but number one, the first one is that trust is really crucial. So I'll share. Okay, so recently I attended a virtual webinar by the Research Bookmark. The topic was unveiling user experience, applying design research to enhance UX design, and there were a couple of UX researchers and research managers, sharing their experience. And I think the general consensus on that in that conversation was how important trust is, in being able to effectively deliver feedback, both negative and positive, right? I mean, if we think about it, for instance, in the context of yourself and your line manager, if you trust your line manager and they give you negative feedback about maybe your performance at work, because you already trust and respect them, you're more likely to actually take this feedback in stride. I think that same principle as applies here. If you don't trust someone, you're not likely to take their feedback or their insights. So the second point is, you know, aside from building, you know, interpersonal relationships, you know, things around that, one thing I've tried to do is to be more intentional, you know, about like open and transparent communication. So from the start, or even before the research study starts, I make sure that I keep stakeholders involved. I update them at every point that they need to be, you know, informed. And this could be either maybe by having a group chat in like whatever chat tool you use, where the concerned stakeholders can get to, you know, be updated on the status of things, or it could be via, you know, email status updates, just keeping people informed. So even for actually in a previous workplace, we had weekly stand-ups at the start, like on the Monday and Friday, basically at the start and end of the week. Basically, this constant open communication helps to, I found that it helps to establish a collaborative and inclusive environment from the beginning. I think it's something, I'll say that if it's not something you've done in the past, you know, of course it might be tough to just start doing that now, but working in silos is actually detrimental to, you know, our work, to our impact, right? I would say if this is something you've not done in the past, yes, it might be a tough sell, but I would encourage you to, you know, like try to get this going, encourage, you know, stakeholders to share their concerns or expectations more openly from the start. And, you know, also be sure, one thing I'm very sure to do is to be sure to be ready for and be receptive to feedback. This is actually really important. You know, you have to make yourself open to get feedback, both negative and positive, and not be reactive, you know, to that feedback. The next point is concerning the report that you're creating. It's the report itself. One thing I try to do is make sure that the report is clear and easily digestible. You know, for every visualization, graph, image, figure that is shown, one thing I try to do is to include maybe a summary or a takeaway. I found that drafting reports is quite tough. One thing I've done, or what thing I do, is I try to make my reports as self-explanatory as possible, so that even when I'm not, you know, presenting or in the room, it's easy to understand. I know, yes, I actually do fall into the you know, having slides that are quite wordy, but I try to, you know, capture the key insights on maybe on one slide. So maybe a quote or a percentage or a graph or something in one side and a key takeaway, and then give further explanation in subsequent slides. So I also will be sharing a report template in a YouTube video coming soon. So yes, another thing I'll say when creating your report is start with the good news. Yes, you know, typically the aim of a research study might be to, you know, identify issues, you know, with a product or a flow or a feature or something like that, you know, things that might be affecting certain metrics. But I typically try to start with the good news first. I try to make sure that I collect both positive and negative feedback, you know, from the tests or the users to share with stakeholders first. I mean, if you put yourself in the shoes of the person receiving this feedback or report, you know, you've done some work, now you're testing, or you have an assumption and you're trying to test that assumption, right? If someone just comes straight out of the gun and says, this won't work, without, you know, probably saying, okay, yes, I see where you're coming from, I understand your thought process, and it seems, yes, there's value in this, but, you know, this is what we are hearing, this is what we are seeing. So yes, aside from that, rather than just, you know, highlighting the issues highlighting the issues as problems, I try to couch negative feedback as an opportunity for improvement. So of course, you know, I know sometimes as UX researchers, we come off as, you know, negative Nancy's, you know, that person who is always just pointing out all the negative aspects of, you know, an idea or a suggestion or, you know, a design, you know. But I think one thing I've tried to do is not just be that no person, you know, not be that no man, but, you know, to actually prefer like meaningful solutions. So even when saying, you know, we don't think this will work because of so and so reason, you know, but we think this might be another or a better way to go about it. Yeah. Also, I try to make use of tools and frameworks, you know, for capturing information like this. For instance, for usability tests, a tool like Maze does a really great job of, you know, presenting the insights in a factual way, and, you know, it gives evidence to support the insights that, you know, are learned. If I conducted maybe a competitive analysis or secondary research or something along that line, I might use like a SWOT analysis framework to communicate these findings effectively. I think this is something that I found that's really, really, really helpful. So yeah, moving on to during the report presentation or the presentation of the insights, one thing I try to do is to provide context at the start to help manage expectations. So I would state, you know, for instance, what were the limitations we encountered when, you know, trying to execute the research, if that might be around, you know, the processes or maybe the users that we were able to speak to. So if there were maybe issues with executing the study. Another thing I make sure to do is to try to address concerns as they come up. So I know as researchers, we've probably already put in so much work, you know, we have already done so much work, right? And then it seems like someone comes up with, you know, some resistance or, you know, questions off the bat. So I feel if stakeholders are expressing some resistance or defensiveness, I found that it's best to just address their concerns directly and honestly. A lot of the time, it might just be a case of providing evidence. So for instance, if they're asking, oh, maybe you conducted a survey and they're asking, you know, things like, how many people did you like survey? From the beginning, off the bat, I will make sure to share that information. If there were any issues around it, I would share that. So it helps to manage expectations as well. And, you know, I think basically just having evidence is crucial. I'm speaking on evidence, you know, sharing like voice recordings, maybe from user interviews. This is really, really key. If it's actually to, you know, to in line with the insights you're sharing. If there are pictures from the field studies that you conducted, it would be great to also include those. Any screen recordings, maybe from unmoderated usability tests, you know, include the screen recordings. Yes, and then I try to make sure that you know, the details, the evidence shared, you know, captures the insights that, you know, we are making, the recommendations we're making. So another thing is that I try to make sure that, you know, all the stakeholders and decision makers are in the room. So this is something my line manager has really drummed into me. So of course, you know, this would help to ensure, you know, transparency and alignment among, you know, the individuals involved, especially in terms of implementing, you know, the insights that, you know, or the recommendations that are made. You know, it ensures for accountability. Also, like by having everyone present, you know, you are able to create an opportunity for collective understanding, you know, open dialogue, and, you know, able to address concerns or questions in real time. You know, it prevents miscommunication or maybe knowledge gaps, you know, that may arise when, you know, if you're sharing an information now, and then that person you're sharing the information to has to go and share to the next person, you know, there will definitely be some gaps. So ultimately, you know, ensuring that all the relevant stakeholders are in the room at the time of the presentation will help to foster an environment of collaboration where decisions, you know, are made collectively and, you know, leading to better, faster, more rounded outcomes, right? So yes, another thing is, yes, in sharing insights, I try to provide recommendations. I think I've mentioned this already, aside from, you know, just being the person who points out the issues, you know, when you or pointing out the opportunities, it's, you know, it speaks well to also provide recommendations. You know, of course, you know, as researchers, we just that we have one perspective, right? That's the user's perspective. We're advocating for the users, you know, so we might not have the full perspective of every, you know, maybe the product, from the product manager's perspective to the business perspective to the technology perspective. So it's, aside from providing recommendations, also important to give room for discussions and brainstorming, you know, basically allowing the stakeholders to workshop some solutions based on all the facts and insights presented. So for recommendations, I would say be clear in your analysis and your thought process. You know, I think oftentimes, you know, the way that a proposal or a recommendation is couched is usually a key determinant of, you know, how it is received. So I also try to be really deliberate about understanding the point of views and concerns of the stakeholders in the room. You know, if we don't understand their perspectives, how can we possibly get them to be aligned with, you know, the user's point of view as well? So, I mean, even if I don't necessarily agree with, you know, their perspectives all the time, you know, it's best to also still listen, you know, to their perspectives while also sharing the user's perspective. So finally, you know, a final note, when at the point of the presentation, is I tried to take notes of the feedback from stakeholders, the discussions that we had during the presentation. It basically helps to ensure that, you know, I gather the full context, you know, at the end of the conversation. So after the presentation, this is I'll say this is a part that I struggled with, and I think the issue is typically how do you get the recommendations, the insights to be translated into action, right? One thing that my team and I have found really useful is to, you know, create a tracker, just like, you know, in project management, you know, a tracker that tracks all the recommendations that have been made, the solutions that, you know, were workshopped, and track the progress on implementation. So I'd like to know, I'd like to know what your opinion, you know, is. What do you think? Is this an effective way of making sure that the insights are translated into action? I'm really open to feedback. I'd love to know, have you found a more successful way of, you know, doing this? So with this tracker, what we do is we basically have periodic check-ins with the relevant stakeholders, you know, asking, you know, based on this feedback or this insight and this recommendation or this solution that we workshopped, what's the progress in getting this to happen? What effects are you seeing? Are you seeing improved conversion with implementation of this recommendation? Things like that. So I'd love to, you know your thoughts. What do you think? Is there a better way to do this? So aside from that, I'll say at this point, I try to maintain objectivity, you know, try to be positive and professional, even though it can be challenging, kind of following up with stakeholders, you know, trying to foster, you know, product, like implementation of the insights and the recommendations made. I think this is this is one of the more difficult things to do because if at this point maybe of course these stakeholders might also have concerns that they are battling or other goals that they are trying to meet, other targets they're trying to meet. And at this point, losing your cool will not help matters. It's important to kind of distance distance any negative or any pushback from your own personal self. I try to remember that I'm advocating for the users and not myself. So, when I'm doing this, I'm making sure that I try to be as respectful and professional as possible. So finally, I would say having an informal review with the parties, the stakeholders within my team after presentations are done. I try to get feedback. What do you think about the presentation? What do you think about the reception of the insights that we shared, even from the stakeholders we shared insights with? What do you think would have been done to improve? I try to reflect on the challenges that we encountered during the process of the study and basically try to figure out where the opportunities are to improve, whether it be the methodology, implementation, the communication, or maybe the stakeholder engagement, right? I just try to be receptive to feedback to improve. So this brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you've gained valuable insights and practical strategies to handle difficult conversations with stakeholders. One thing I would hope you take away from this is to remember that effective communication is key to building strong relationships and driving positive change in our role. So I'll say stay tuned for more thought-provoking episodes. Don't forget to subscribe or follow this podcast wherever you're listening. Rate the podcast 5 stars, of course. And share this episode with fellow researchers, designers, anyone passionate about creating exceptional user experiences. Let's work together to conquer the challenges in our field and, make a lasting impact. I really hope you've enjoyed listening. And if you have any comments, questions, or feedback for me, please complete my Q&A form linked in the show notes. Or you can send me an email at iwalolashoboale@gmail.com. You can also reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter. I'd really love to hear from you. Until next week, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.